Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Encouraging you to live as an ambassador of God's kingdom in the world. This is Mornings with Carmen LaBurge on Faith Radio.
If we're going to fly, we fly like eagles.
This is a test. This is only a test. Test of the... No, this is not a test. There's no test. No testing here. It is testing time where I live in the schools near me. I wonder if it's testing time where you live as well as we approach the end of a school year. Tests, test taking, test results. Maybe you're waiting for some test results today. Maybe you're in a time of testing. Maybe you're ready to give a testimony. I got tests on the mind today. I'm Carmen LaBurge. You're listening to a special edition of Mornings with Carmen during our spring fundraiser here at Faith Radio. Thank you if you've already joined us in our spring fundraiser. And thank you in advance if you're about to. That's right. You can join us today. Become a part of the mission and ministry of Faith Radio. Text the word GIVE to 877-933-2484 or online at myfaithradio.com. Jesus was tested. I want to think about that for a moment. I want to think about the ways Jesus was tested. Think about all the times that the Pharisees and others tested him, got together and tried to come up with questions that would trip him up or test him. Think about the way that Jesus was tested by Satan, right? Meets with the devil in the wilderness. And was tested there, tempted. Jesus also suffered, and you and I know that suffering can be a test, right? I'm thinking about Jesus bowing in the Garden of Gethsemane and asking that the cup might pass from him. That's quite a test, right? A test of Jesus's commitment to the redemptive plan that had been set in motion at the foundations of the earth. It's not as if, you know, this came as a surprise to Jesus. I mean, he has seen the cross from creation itself. Jesus knew this would have to be done. He also knew there was no other way. Like, this is, you know, but Jesus in the fullness of his divinity and the fullness of humanity is bowing down before the Father, sweating drops of blood because he knows how excruciating the cross is going to be. Not just the physical pain of it and the humiliation that he's going to have to endure. Not just the rejection he's going to feel. Not just all of that. Not just the sin of every person over the course of all time poured out upon him. Something he's never known, being sinless. But also what it's going to be like to be separated from the Father. Can this cup pass from me? Is there any other way? And then Jesus praying, God's will be done. If you're being tested today, if you're suffering today, Jesus is right there with you. Our Growing Your Faith verse of the day comes from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 16 to 18. We also know that the Son did not come to help angels, says the writer of Hebrews. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. It was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. And then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Jesus is able and willing and available to help you when you are being tested. Are you being tested today? Are you facing a test? Is there going to be some test taking? Are you waiting on some test results? And is the waiting a test? Are you experiencing a time of testing in your life? Are people testing you? How could all of those tests be turned into testimonies? Think back over the course of your life and the times that you have been tested and how God has seen you through, how God has provided a way when there seemed to be no way. You know, your proverbial ram in the thicket provided at just the right time, in just the right place, in just the right way that only God could accomplish. That's a testimony. That's a Faith Radio story. This is our Faith Radio Spring Fundraising Week. And it's a little bit of a test for each of us and all of us. And the one thing that we are told that we can test God in is his faithfulness to provide. You could test God in this, he says, of himself. Test God, give sacrificially, and test and see if God won't replenish those storehouses and do even more. What is your Faith Radio story? We'd love to hear it. You can share it with us at myfaithradio.com. And while you're there, you can press the donate button. You can also text the word give to 877-933-2484. The stories of testimonies, the stories of tests that become testimonies, you know, I hope you're increasingly hearing over and over and over again here as we encourage one another in our walk of faith. There is one great story, right? The greatest story ever told. And we love to hear it. We love to watch it. Many of us have been engaged in watching it on a series called The Chosen. Jerry Jenkins is the father of Dallas Jenkins. Dallas Jenkins responsible for, this wildly popular hit series called The Chosen. Jerry Jenkins, wildly popular author. And so he is writing alongside each season of The Chosen, he is writing a series of novels. And so we have arrived at volume 3 of The Chosen, and it's called I Will Give You Rest. And Jerry Jenkins, or my conversation with Jerry Jenkins is coming up next, and we do have copies of the book to give away. So you can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Again, thank you for listening to this special Faith Radio fundraiser edition of Mornings with Carmen. All right, it's really fun to have Jerry Jenkins back with us again. You already know him. He's written more than 200 books. He's got 21 New York Times bestsellers. Some of my favorites were the Left Behind series, which was end times fiction that I would say like is a generation ago and yet so very timely. He's joining us today to talk with us about the latest in the Chosen series of novels. This is novel number 3, The Chosen, and I Will Give You Rest. Jerry Jenkins, welcome back to Mornings with Carmen.
Thanks, Carmen. Always great to be with you.
So can we go back in time a little bit and the Left Behind series? I will confess to you, I read them in early college, my early college years, and I will say it ignited a holy imagination in me that persists to today. Are you feeling like there was some things happening today even that people are like, you know what, I need to go back and reread those?
Yeah, and that's happening. It's amazing. It's hard to believe. I mean, I think I have socks older than you, but the first title of the Left Behind series actually came out 28 years ago this year. And that series, you know, it's sold 63 plus million, is still selling to this day, about 15,000 units a month. And people are, you know, there's renewed interest and they're saying, what is happening in Israel? And is this part of prophecy? And of course it is. I mean, the prophecies say that Israel will be attacked on all sides. And then to watch for the great bear of the north and the army from the east. Now, Dr. LaHaye has been gone for 7 years, but he believed, and I tend to agree, that the great bear is Russia and the army from the east is China. So I just urge people to keep an eye on those two. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. Not even the Son of Man knows the day or the hour, he said. And so it's sort of folly for us to try to pick a date or a day or time. But we're heading for something. And, you know, in God's economy of time, a day is as a thousand years and a thousand years is as a day. So if he in his mercy waits one more day, that could be 1,000 more of our years. But on the other hand, it could be today.
Amen. My wicks are trimmed and my lantern is filled with fuel. I hope he finds me busy when he arrives. That is my that's my heart's desire. He's certainly going to find you busy. Let's talk about this writing career. You started writing when you were a teenager. It's impossible for you to have imagined that God would have given you so much to say over so many years in so many ways. Just reflect on that for a moment, like the gift of the writing life.
Yeah, it has been an incredible ride. And, I started my professional writing career because I got paid for what I wrote at age 14. I talked my way into a sports writing job at a local paper, and they didn't know I was too young to even drive. My mother had to drive me to ball games so I could write, and then back to the newspaper office to write. And I'd make $10 or $12 for an article and thought I was in pretty high cotton at that point. But at about age 16, I heard a message at camp about the fact that all Christians need to be full-time Christians, but some actually make their living serving God and are called to full-time Christian work. And I felt that call. And I remember thinking clearly, I'm going to have to give up the writing and study to be a pastor or a missionary. And I went forward to make that commitment. And the wife of the speaker was the counselor that night, and I told her my story, and she said, "Don't be too quick to give up the writing, because God often equips us before He calls us, and He may use that vehicle to help you fulfill this call to full-time Christian ministry." And obviously, that's what's happened, and it changed my whole view of success too, because most writers, their success is based on bestsellers, big royalty checks, nice reviews, letters from readers, etc. Now, I've seen all that. I've had all that and enjoyed it, but that's never been the goal. The goal has been to succeed through obedience. All I want to do is fulfill the call. So when I finish writing the manuscript, as my son Dallas would say, that's my 5 loaves and 2 fish. I'm not the one to do the multiplying. I can't make it sell, make people like it, get, you know, have money come in, get great reviews. That's all up to the marketplace and, of course, up to God. And it really takes a lot of pressure off me. But I have felt blessed over the years. This is my 50th year as a published author. So I just feel really blessed to be able to serve that way.
That is extraordinary. You're making my job really easy, because you made mention of Dallas, one of your 3 grown sons. We all now know him as the creator and the co-writer, the director of The Chosen, the television series. Talk with us about this collaborative project that you have ongoing. So this is novel 3 in the Chosen series. This collaboration is pretty unique, and I just love that God's given you the gift of working with Dallas on this. So can you just talk about the entire project, and then we'll get into this specific book?
Yeah, you can imagine what a thrill it is to be able to work with my son. And I helped him get started in his movie career, you know, a couple of decades ago. And but this project, this idea is all his. And so I feel like I'm sort of pressing my nose up against the glass and saying, can I play too? And of course, the joke in our family is that he used to be known as Jerry Jenkins' son, and now I'm known as Dallas Jenkins' father. And may it ever be so. I mean, I couldn't be more thrilled. People ask Diana and me every day, how proud we must be of Dallas and what he's done. And we love to say we're really as proud of who he is as what he's done, because he's become a man of God. And the fact that phenomenons hit the same family within a generation, with Left Behind being, you know, as old as it is, I was the same age then as Dallas is now. Mm. And so it's allowed me to counsel him on writing this phenomenon and how you just kind of have to hold on tight and stick to the knitting. But he came up with the idea, and I asked if he could use a novel to go along with each season, sort of deconstructing it. Usually film and TV is based on the book. Well, this one is based on the Bible, and the novels that I write for each season are based on the series itself. So I'm kind of going backwards, but I have the fun of adding inner monologue and character motivation and more plausible imagination. That's what Dallas and his co-writers do so well with the series. They take the truth of Scripture, and when they get to those true parts, the part of sermons and miracles, they depict those exactly the way we would imagine them from the Bible. But they use their creative imaginations to say, here's how what might have led up to that. And it's not crazy stuff. We don't have Jesus on a rocket ship or going to a different continent or being somebody that violates his character. It's plausible stories that make him relatable and make the disciples relatable. And I think that's the genius of it. So I have great fun sort of deconstructing that and doing the novels too.
If you have seen the most recent season of The Chosen, then you are familiar with a plot line that runs throughout, and it's a conversation about pregnancy loss. So I'm going to ask Jerry about that in just a moment. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. We're talking with author Jerry Jenkins. You can connect with him and lots of really great resources at jerryjenkins.com. We'll continue our conversation about Novel 3 in The Chosen series, and I Will Give You Rest. We'll be right back. Hey, I really like it that you listen whenever you want, wherever you are, at all times of the day and night. That is so cool. So thank you so very much for all the ways in which you support this ministry with your prayers and words of encouragement. Right now, in order for this podcast to be available everywhere all the time for everyone, I actually need your help. Could you support this podcast right now so that more people in more places at every hour of every day could hear about Jesus and grow in their relationship with him? Click the link in the show notes or give now at myfaithradio.com. And thank you so much again for listening to this podcast. Continuing our conversation with author Jerry Jenkins, you can find him at jerryjenkins.com. The book is The Chosen, and I Will Give You Rest. It's novel 3 in The Chosen series. Talk with us about this storyline of pregnancy loss. I mean, obviously, that is not something drawn directly from Scripture, but the experience of it, of Peter's sweet wife, and then obviously the Peter and the extended company in the story. This had to be interesting to write.
It really was, and again, this is sort of the genius of Dallas and his co-writers. One thing we know from Scripture is that Peter was married, because it says that his mother-in-law fell ill and Jesus healed her. So we know he was married. That's all we know. We don't know her name. We don't know what their relationship was like, but we know it was first century. And a lot of people in the first century, we know this from research, had trouble with pregnancies and had miscarriages and that type of thing. So this happens to Peter and Eden in the story. And, you know, there are some who will say, well, wait a minute, that's not in the Bible. How dare you add to or take away from the gospel? Well, it doesn't take away or add to anything to the gospel message. It just is a plausible extrapolation of what a relationship might have been like and what struggles they might have faced. So instead of having Simon Peter as a stained glass window character or a statue or a man with a big gray beard who marches everywhere and speaks in King James English like we usually see on screen, we say, look, this is a young man who had a brother, who had a wife, who was a dynamic person. He had a temper. I mean, that's clear in Scripture. He was a hard driver. So what might have happened? What might have led up to his, you know, the kind of unique relationship he had with Jesus? And so I think the idea of her losing a child and then him being a typical husband, even today, who maybe comes back from a big trip like he's gone on with Jesus, and is a little insensitive to Eden. She doesn't even feel like she can tell him she's lost a child while he was gone. And so there's that tension, that marital tension. It's not a deal breaker, but it's tense. And then when he finds out that she's lost a child, and he's been with Jesus and seen him perform miracles and even seen him raise someone from the dead, naturally he wonders, why them and not us? Why do we have to suffer when I'm serving the Messiah the creator God who could do it, can do anything. And that makes for incredible tension and conflict, which is really the engine of fiction. But it also allows us to relate with these characters. That's, to me, that's the beauty of this, that readers and viewers can say, I've been there. Whether you've lost a child or lost something else, maybe you lost a home, maybe you've lost a job, maybe you've lost, you know, another loved one. These characters are relatable. They're not stained glass window people anymore. So that's been a real fun thing to be involved in, and we feel blessed to be able to share it.
Yeah, I just, when I think about just I can talk about it statistically, but I can also talk about it from members of my own family and friends, but 1 in 4 pregnancies end in miscarriage. And yeah. So you're talking about an experience that an extraordinary percentage of people have and have had, and I felt like the allowing her mom to be such a kind and present person in the midst of her suffering was just such a gift as well. It's an extraordinary storyline in this season, and you have dealt with it well in the novel as well. And I wanted to lift that up in our conversation and say thank you for doing something that I know must have been difficult, but is extraordinarily important in terms of a storyline that resonates with a lot of people.
It was difficult. You know, of all people, it was the poet Robert Frost who said, if there are no tears in the writer, there'll be no tears in the reader. Believe me, there were tears in the writer. I mean, I have not suffered this loss of a child, but I have friends and relatives who have and know how deep that pain can be. And so it's tough stuff. And, you know, this is the thing that I appreciate so much about Dallas and his co-writers. The sequence is already there. That makes my job easier. But also these, you know, inventing these stories of what people go through and making them plausible. I mean, we've got a disciple that has a physical ailment and wonders why he hasn't been healed. And Jesus tells him why. We have a disciple, you know, they imagined that Matthew, the tax collector, might have been on the spectrum. He might have had Asperger's or even been autistic before they knew what to call it. Dallas has a daughter who's autistic, and so he's sympathetic to that and just thought, you know, here's a guy, he's a numbers guy, he's brilliant, but he's ostracized. That sounds like somebody that could be on the spectrum. Scripture doesn't say he was or that he was that quirky or anything, but it works for the story, and so many people have written to Dallas and his team about how their autistic children or children with Asperger's are drawn to that Matthew character and really magnetized toward the story because of that. So it's been a privilege.
I have an autistic granddaughter. And so, yes, we are very, very appreciative of the representation of what in our family, you know, are Emma's concerns. And so thank you. Thank you so much for that. All right, you got a couple of minutes. Why don't you extend an invitation to all of the aspiring writers out there, the frustrated ones, the ones that don't think they have enough time to write, the ones that need a checklist. Invite them to jerryjenkins.com to get the tools they need and invite them to a course.
Well, I appreciate that. We do have, I have the Jerry Jenkins Writers Guild and many courses that people can buy, but also for people who just aren't sure, they just think they might want to look into this. All kinds of freebies. We, you know, just go to jerryjenkins.com and sign up. You get daily writing tips, you get free blogs, and then other things that you can look at and see if you want to invest in. But the one thing I appreciate that you brought up, the fact that people don't feel they have time to write. Nobody has time to write, myself included. You don't have the time. You don't find the time. You make the time. You have to give up something else in your schedule. Nowadays, everyone is busy 24/7. And so just decide, how important is this to you? If it's important to you to be published, you're going to need to learn the craft and give up something else. Maybe it's an hour of sleep a night. I wouldn't give up more than that because you need to be well rested. But maybe it's a favorite TV show that you binge watch and you could invest that time writing instead of watching. Maybe it's parties or concerts or friends that you interact with. You know, maintain your priorities, keep your family, you know, straight. I always say never sacrifice your family on the altar of your dream, but we've got lots of stuff we can offer. And I just feel so blessed in this career. It's been 50 years since I was published the first time. And I like to celebrate that by just paying it forward and sharing everything I've learned and hope to see a lot of other people come behind and become published.
So good. Thank you so much. It's always a delight to talk with you. We look forward to the next season. We're already getting indications of exactly when that's going to be and how to watch it. So I'm sure you're already dutifully working on the next novel as well.
Believe it or not, I have finished the novel for season 4. So I know everything that's coming. I can't tell you anything, but it's going to be fantastic. And, you always make it easy, Carmen. It was great to be on with you. Thanks.
Oh, absolutely. It's such a joy. It's just a real honor to talk with you. That's Jerry Jenkins. You can connect with him online. Lots of great writer's resources at jerryjenkins.com. The newest novel in the Chosen series is novel 3, And I Will Give You Rest. Hey, just a reminder, you are listening to a special edition of Mornings with Carmen here during our Faith Radio Spring fundraiser. You can join us at 877-933-2484 online at myfaithradio.com. We do have some copies of Jerry Jenkins' The Chosen novel series, Volume 3, to give away today. So you can enter that drawing by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. So many wonderful stories to tell here at Faith Radio. And one of our regular, everyday, day in and day out listeners here on the Faith Radio Network, his name is Andrew. He lives in the Twin Cities. He listens every day. We literally walk with him, or he walks with us, as he's walking other people's dogs. And it has been just a real privilege to walk with Andrew as a new believer. He's got a lot of questions. He has a deep desire to grow up into Christ in every way. Andrew's in his mid-50s, and becoming a follower of Jesus at this stage of life has meant that, he has had to separate himself from some friends with whom he has been walking in recent years, because, this new life in Christ is a different kind of life than many of his friends are continuing to choose to live. And so if you wonder what your gifts to Faith Radio are accomplishing, well, I can tell you that in Andrew's life, it means he has discipleship and he has community. You are ministering every day to Andrew through the ministry of Faith Radio. You are meeting Andrew where he is. You are encouraging him. You are equipping him. You are empowering him for his walk of faith. And so if you need to put a name to what you're doing, to the mission that's being accomplished through your giving to Faith Radio, you could just think of Andrew. Join the mission now. Become a part of what God is doing in and through Faith Radio. You could give your best gift now online at myfaithradio.com or by texting the word give to 877-933-2484. Thank you so much in advance for helping Andrew move from tests to testimony. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen.